A couple of fuck you motherfuckers, a gun got pulled out. And I know this because I'm acquainted with a guy who was sitting in a car right in front of this fracas. And he's, I don't know him well. It was a business thing, but he is a former police officer. And he sees the gun come out. And then the fumbling of the gun. Like the guy evidently was just, I don't know, like bouncing it in the air. The shot never went off because by the time he finished fumbling his gun, the other guys were like, oh shit, and they ran off. Called, and it was a very traumatizing thing for the neighborhood to have some fuckholes pull out a gun and fumble it. I mean, it's much better that they fumbled it than shot it, because that would have been much worse. Yeah, so at any minute, you know, bad things. Just things that can stop your dreams. My dreams. So I'm thinking about this, and I don't want to take my dreaming for granted. Granted. I'm going to get a little atonal now, just for the shit of it. So I've been giving some thought to what should I do? I think I'm going to ask this question quite a bit and also just see what unfolds. I know there's a couple things in front of me that are looming. And I only say in front of me because I put them in front of me. As I put them in front of me, as I put them in front of me, as I put them in front of me, put them in front of me, put them in front of me, put them in front of me. I pick them. I wonder if you have something that you know you gotta do. You just feel it. I suppose you'd have to say, I've decided on two basic things. One is to start playing in the park. Are you serious? It's a big park. It's a big park. In the park. One of the biggest in the world. Playing the guitar. Why? Why in the park? Why? 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 During my hallucinogenic experience, I had that message come to me saying, hey, asshole. You had the greatest teachers. Yeah. You can play some things that are rarefied and beautiful. Yeah. Just do it for free. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about anything. Just put it out in the air. Yeah. In the park. So I prepared a bunch of shit, like 25 solo pieces, sounds like a lot, ranging from simple to intense. Jazz standards that I'm going to do a la bossa nova, because that sounds the least obnoxious. True that. It's how I will get better. Practicing a lot, and I can hear even from this stuff that I've gotten a lot better. 0.5% a day.
Yeah, more like 0.5% a day.
My teacher Julio, before he died, told me that you have to play 10 or 20 pieces very, very well. I still play those pieces that Julio taught me. So that's one thing. The other thing is finding a new jiu-jitsu school, which comes with some, a little bit of guilt, because the people that trained me and who I was part of their school are no longer in business. And I found a school, walkable distance. So I have no excuse. I just have to commit. And that's number two. As you can hear, I'm fucking around with some different sounds here. And part of that is just seeking new environments sonically. Just to have fun. So I'm nervous about playing in the park a little bit. Have fun. I can't control what people think about what I do. No one's forcing me to do anything. It's just what it is. I was singing. What am I saying? Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water. Do you have something that you're nervous about doing? Do you have a commitment or connection phobia like I do? I understand that this podcast episode is a bit diffuse and weird.
No.
But I figured I should just let it stand as a reflection of my diffuseness and weirdness. Lately, I've been having these dreams pivoting off of my change of heart regarding my son. And everything. My experience of playing the guitar is like a conversation that I'm having. Lately, I've been having these dreams with my son. I talk to him as I play. I've been teaching myself in the way that I would have taught him, a private, intense language. So there's a little bit of bittersweet to all of the music. It's like there was the music I made before he died,
and now,
and then the music I make after he died. It's like he's talking through me somehow. And it's always evolving and changing. I hear him like the way a painter, you know, makes different looking stuff at different times. My son was also a painter. When I listen back to this shit, I'm like, what am I heading into? He would have dug it. It's just weird. But it's also, it's fun. It's a language. It's also good. I feel my shadow being able to emerge and just be out there. I feel his shadow too. I guess I mean the inside of myself. The darkest places inside myself just can be part of my life. Since he can't speak or play, I do it. So these dreams,
that have been pivoting off of this new... Go on. Perspective. Where I don't hate my son or myself, but I love him. And I forgive him and myself. It hasn't meant that the grief or the sorrow has gone away. It's just pivoted. It's changed, but it's still there. It's at an angle. And instead of digging up hard feelings and garbage, blame, I've been having these dreams. I've just been doing nothing, just letting my mind do whatever it wants, which was markedly different than last year when I was forcing my mind to speak its bitterness. Markedly different. So in these dreams, I had three in a row. My son comes to me, or I find myself with him, and I'm doing very banal or prosaic things with him, like with him, eating him. It's like the basic shit that a father should do with their kid, you know, like reading. In one dream, I was taking my son to the bathroom. And although that sounds so, you know, prosaic or prosecco, uneventful, it's one of the most important things a father can do for a son, with his son. I remember my son wet his bed once, and I did that as a kid, and it sucked. And no one ever was nice about it, and I hated it. I hated myself now that I think about it, now that I remember how shitty that is. And if you're a bedwetter and you're out there is hope, and it will stop. I still don't know what causes it, but my son started doing it. He woke up in the night, and there was a look to him that I saw in myself and remembered in myself, which was some shame, some frustration, wanting to hide it, not being able to do anything, not being able to go back to his bed, and he just started to cry. It was the middle of the night. He was only 6 years old. I told him, "Oh, it's okay. Don't you worry about this. You and I are going to take care of this together. I used to do this. Let's get your bed changed and make you cozy. I love you. And do you need to go to the bathroom some more? I'm sorry." I think he said no. I might have put him in my bed with me. I was single at the time. Single, I mean, he has a mother. But we weren't together anymore. For all I knew, that was the reason he was doing it. He was sad. But it was just one of the coolest things that I thought that I could do for my son. Something that no one did for me, which was reassure me and tell me that it was going to be okay. And hug him and let him go through his process of feeling fucked up about it, but knowing that I wasn't going to judge him, make him feel bad, ever. And I told him that it's never going to be a problem. Whatever we have to do, we'll do. But he stopped wetting his bed. He maybe did it, I don't know, like 10 times, which is nothing. I'm sorry. And in my dream, I'm doing things like that, like I'm taking care of him, changing his clothes, tying his shoes. In another dream, I just remember crying out three things, and I can only remember one of those things. Two were lost. I was crying. The type of crying that happened when he first died. I'm sorry. A grief that is, there are no words, beyond comprehension, beyond words. I'm sorry. And I knew this was happening spontaneously, that I wasn't creating it out of my mindset. Without a mindset, I haven't been in a mindset. Perhaps that's a mindset. Upon waking, I couldn't recall two of the statements that I was saying in my dream. I remembered the third. I knew that all three were statements from my deepest self. I forgot the first two. But the third one was, I'm sorry. And I was weeping, crying, retching. No sound was coming out of me because it was like out of my guts, retching. That silent crying. And I said, I'm sorry. Why? I dream of us wrestling, fighting all the time. I miss that. My son and I were constantly sparring. He beat me pretty badly the last time we sparred. It was the first time that happened. It was awesome. We were alone in a field, like a dream. I was so proud. I have not made another martial arts friend. He was it. He was a training partner and teacher. In the city I live in, somehow people keep to themselves. You don't even know your neighbors here. I train alone, remembering what it was like to be with him. But joining this new school is going to be a challenge and an adventure. Something new, something unknown. My first jiu-jitsu class was with my son. And that's life. He was already so good. And that's life. Dad, you have to do jiu-jitsu. Check it out. He was also really good on his feet. And he kept catching me behind the knee. That was the last time I played with my son. He was so good with my son. The last time. So when I trained, I listened to him do 10 more. Had become my teacher by the end. Meaning, I lowered. not in capital letters. It's in lowercase letters. nobody. Out.